Welcome to the June 9th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service today is led by our settled minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and the title of her sermon is Our Need for Beauty. The podcast begins with a reading read by Worship Associate Jim Kern. Rev. Pam references a video, and a link to that video is on this past sermons page.
The reading this morning is from James Flaherty. Beauty is not decorative. It touches us deeply, dissolves our conscious control, and connects us to levels of our being well beyond our day-to-day concerns. Beauty pierces open a sharp, clear space in which we directly encounter the immediacy of our experience. We know ourselves at that moment as beauty. Beauty can appear at any time. Walking a familiar street, we may look up and see the moonlight glance off raindrops on a leaf, and the world opens. We might catch the profile of our beloved as she or he lay sleeping, and we melt. On seeing a statue carved with delicacy, we feel our own self fully. Hearing a chord or change in a musical piece, with no warning, we plunge into a state of clarity, order, and wonder that our logical mind could never construct. Beauty awakens us from the dull contours of our busy turbulence, of our so important lives. The trance is broken. What is there? Where am I? Who am I? About all this, we have no words to say, but we somehow arrive in a place where these questions are already, always answered. We humans need beauty as much as we need air.
We humans need beauty as much as air. That's quite an assertion. Perhaps an overstatement? Clearly, we cannot live without air. But without beauty? Beauty does make our lives richer. In our meditation, I asked you to imagine the beauty of the world you can sense with your eyes, your ears, your lips, your heart, and your bodies. And we expressed gratitude, both for that beauty and for our ability to take it all in. And as our meditation hymn reminds us, it's important to take time to take it all in. We just kind of fell in love with that hymn. I don't know. I love the idea of the sheep and cows stopping to stare. They do a lot of that. I used to live in the middle of a cow pasture, and cows have infinite patience. In our busy lives, it's easy to brush past all the sources of beauty, to not notice, to not see the moonlight glance off raindrops on a leaf. We're so rushed that we see merely the surface of things. So much of what is deemed beautiful in pop culture seems to be decorative, the surface stuff. I think of fashion magazines filled with colorful clothes and impossibly thin models, and the colorful images that inhabit my computer screen when I first turn it on. Do you get those too? They're amazing. And apparently, many of them are photoshopped. These things are pretty, but I'm not so sure they would qualify as beautiful. So as Jim and I prepared for this service, we watched one of the videos in the packet full of resources that we get from the Soul Matters Sharing Circle, which is the network of UU congregations who follow the same monthly themes. So UUs all over the country are talking about beauty today. So we watched one of the videos considering whether we might want to show it this morning. It was beautiful music, but there were some logistical difficulties of rolling the big TV in and lifting it up onto the chancel. And then some people would not be able to see it very well, even though we did our best. So we decided not to show that video. They called it a video meditation. But upon further reflection, even if we had a screen mounted up there on the wall and everyone could see it perfectly, I wouldn't want to show it to you this morning. Despite the fact that the images were lovely, people and animals and objects that could surprise you and warm your hearts, it just didn't feel right for today. Which isn't to say that the video isn't really cool, and I'll have Lisa put the link up on the recording of the service on the web so that you can all watch it on your own, and then let me know what you think of it. I liked it because it lifts up all the different and even surprising ways we can encounter beauty in the world, in unexpected places. The video was called The Beauty of a Second, and it was a series of second-long videos flashing by. Each was remarkable, eliciting laughter and awe. And each one is a reminder of what Irish poet and priest John O'Donohue describes. He writes, "The wonder of the beautiful is its ability to surprise us. With swift, sheer grace, it is like a divine breath that blows the heart open. Immune to our strategies, it can take us when we least expect it." Can you think of moments when you were surprised by beauty? When you least expected it? Think for a moment. When was a time you were surprised by beauty? What did you see or experience? One that comes to my mind is when we were walking back in Charlottesville on our morning walk in a cemetery. And all of a sudden, we saw this huge spider web glistening with morning moisture. It took my breath away. So think and turn to someone next to you or near you and share that piece of beauty you were surprised by. Let's take a moment or two to share those moments of beauty. So I'm a little curious. Did any of your moments of beauty just happen in a flash like that? No? Was it the face of a person? No? Something in nature? Yeah. Something technological? Sometimes I remember seeing, this is going to sound awful, we go to a lake in the summer and we have motorboats, and the color of gasoline in the water, is that what you said? I'm channeling. Okay. So if you can't remember when you were last surprised by beauty, go out into the parking lot and look in a puddle. See what you can find. Does anyone want to share what they shared? I'm going to remember what Jim told me. I'm not going to tell you, though. As surprising and heartwarming as each snippet in that video was, together they were too much. Imagine if we were to take all of the moments of beauty that we all shared with one another and plastered it up on a screen. Boom, 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 boom. Every individual moment of beauty is powerful. But at least in this video meditation, I don't know if you think this way, but it was just too much and too fast. And one of the reasons we come together on Sunday mornings is to take the time to stop and stare like the sheep and the cows in our meditation hymn. It's important for us to take a pause from the busy turbulence of our lives and give time for those momentary, unexpected encounters with beauty and to let them sink in. Like taking a moment just to hear one of the beautiful pieces that Jared plays. And at the end of this service, I invite you all to stay in your seats and stay quiet and listen deeply to the music, because this will be the last time we hear Jared until August. Sometimes beauty is bittersweet. He will be enjoying a vacation, and we will be enjoying other musicians. What? It's weird? The music? Okay, the music is weird. You can leave if you don't want to stay. I believe it's a woman composer, yes? Yeah, I think we should all stay. I'm just saying. But it does take time. As Flaherty puts it, beauty touches us deeply, dissolves our conscious control, and connects us to levels of our being well beyond our day-to-day concerns. Beauty pierces open a sharp, clear space in which we directly encounter the immediacy of our experience. To be touched deeply, to let beauty connect us to levels beyond our day-to-day concerns, takes more than seconds-long images in quick succession. Which is to say that beauty, if it is to be spiritually uplifting, requires more from us than simply our attention. John O'Donohue talks about this in terms of approaching the world with reverence. He writes, "A reverence of approach awakens depth and enables us to be truly present where we are. When we approach with reverence, great things decide to approach us. Our real life comes to the surface, and its light awakens the concealed beauty of things. When we walk on the earth with reverence, beauty will decide to trust us. The rushed heart and the arrogant mind lack the gentleness and patience to enter that embrace. Beauty is mysterious, a slow presence who waits for the ready, expectant heart." I love the idea of earning the trust of beauty. If we live in the world with a sense of reverence, with humility, gentleness, patience, and an open heart, then we will experience beauty more readily and more often. Now, all this speaks to the possibilities of beauty, of how we might best encounter it and appreciate it and be transformed by it. But that begs the question, do we need beauty as much as air? As Flaherty asserts, Is beauty a luxury or a necessity? Can we live without beauty? Would we want to? And if we were in a world without beauty, would we wither and die? Or would we be compelled to create beauty or to find it in unlikely places? When I imagine worlds without beauty, I think of science fiction and the dystopian worlds they predict, where everything is regimented, where all is utilitarian, where usefulness trumps art. I think of novels like The Giver. Have you read that? It's a world without color. We've seen the films where the earth has been ravaged either by war or by pollution and climate change, and everything is brown and gray, yeah? I'm thinking of Blade Runner in my head, where people all wear the same drab clothing, live in drab and uniform homes, and there's no room for such luxuries as beauty or creativity. Actually, we don't have to look to science fiction, do we? All right, there are different parts of New Jersey. If you stay on the turnpike, you're going to see the not so nice parts. But it's the Garden State, right? There is beauty in New Jersey. Everywhere. But think about the totalitarian regimes of the 20th century. When we think of the USSR and Communist China, we have images of workers wearing shapeless uniforms as they work in collective farms and factories. I recently was reminded of a Wendy's commercial that had a joke about a Soviet-style fashion show. And the announcer says, "Day wear," and the woman struts out and she's wearing this shapeless frock. And then evening wear, and it's the same exact gray, shapeless thing. Swimming wear. Anyway, that's what we think of. And when I visited my sister in Italy, every time I saw a big, blocky building that had no decoration at all on it, my brother-in-law, Orazio, said, "That's from the fascist time." When a society's highest values are efficiency and control, then beauty becomes not just a luxury, but a waste of resources, and even dangerous. When I imagine worlds without beauty, I think of places in the world where man's inhumanity to man strips the world of beauty, like war zones, like refugee camps. I used to just think about those in other places, but now I know they're on our borders. And I think of the concentration camps of World War II. But when we read about such places and those who are suffering, we discover that some of them felt compelled to create or find beauty. I read about Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. You know her? She did work on death and dying. She wrote in her book, The Wheel of Life, a memoir of living and dying, about her journey to the site of the Majdanek concentration camp in Poland right after World War II. She visited the children's barracks where she encountered clothes and little shoes tossed aside, but she also saw something that at first surprised and then amazed her. Carved into the walls with pebbles and fingernails were butterflies. Hundreds and hundreds of them. Spellbound by the sight of butterflies drawn on the wall, she couldn't help but wonder why they were there and what they meant. And after years of listening to terminally ill patients, Kubler-Ross hypothesized that the children who drew those butterflies knew that they were going to die, and that their drawings were a message for further generations. I'm not sure if I accept her explanation, but something drove them to create beauty in the midst of their horror. Likewise, during the civil war in Bosnia, more specifically during the siege of Sarajevo, a cellist named Vedran Smailovic created beauty in response to tragedy. After a daylight bombing, which killed 22 civilians who were waiting in line for food, Smailovic played his cello 22 days to honor their lives, playing this adagio in G minor. In light of tragedy, his response was beauty. But it isn't just in times of war that we find it difficult to see beauty, but it is there all the same. The UU minister, Maureen Killeran, tells a story about rediscovering reverence and beauty. She writes, "It felt like being on the moon, walking on Mount St. Helens. Just a few years previous, that mountain had blown her top, destroying human and animal life, flattening vegetation and buildings for miles, and sharing its ash with the world." Do you remember that? I lived in Oregon then. It was on my bike. "As we stepped from our car, we felt that ash drift like talcum around our ankles, rise in the air, enter with our breath. Other than occasional blackened memories of trees, all was gray, gray as far as you could see. Silence seized us for the longest time as we stood there, two irrelevant humans and this huge, mutilated world. Only gradually did our eyes slow and our hearts focus. Only gradually did we begin to see what was really before us. How had we overlooked the fireweed, that perennial volunteer, its brilliant buds proclaiming, 'Hey, world, we're back!' What blocked us from celebrating the eager insect conversations around us? It was right there before us, and we nearly walked away. Overwhelmed by the devastation, we almost missed the tiny pond, its surface literally dancing with more tadpoles than I had ever seen." She writes, "We do this, you see. We ensnare ourselves with the magnitude of what the poet called the mutilated world. We get busy and troubled and frightened, and I, at least, need to remind myself to be grateful for intermittent beauty and the stubborn gifts of breath and life. I, maybe you too, need this season, even if just quietly, to say, 'Praise be.' We all find ourselves busy and troubled and frightened, don't we? And in need of beauty." So recently, and even after the service, I've been meeting with the facilitators of our Soul Matters small groups. These are small groups of people who meet once a month to engage more deeply with the themes that we explore on Sunday mornings. And each month, the folks in those groups read a packet and choose a spiritual practice to try for a month, and they choose one question from a whole list of questions just to sit with for the month. And after engaging with the spiritual practice and sitting with that question, they gather together in the small group and share what the experience has been like. And after talking with the facilitators, we decided maybe it'd be a good idea for us all to know about some of the spiritual practices and engage in them. That way, it won't feel like homework. So today, I'm going to share one of the practices focused on beauty. It begins, the philosopher Blaise Pascal wrote, "In difficult times, carry something beautiful in your heart." Carry something beautiful in your heart. The explanation goes on. These are indeed difficult times. They require courage, commitment, hope, and self-love. And all of them are sustained by beauty. We find the courage to fight after falling in love with a beautiful vision to fight for. We maintain our commitment only by finding the beauty that nourishes us. We hold on to hope because experiences of beauty remind us that something in the universe is on our side. We withstand dehumanization when rooted deeply in the beauty of our own dignity. It's one of the most important secrets to successful social change and social survival. When we carry beauty, it carries us. So this month, we are all invited to get clear about the beautiful things we need to carry or are carrying. Whether that be in your heart, in your head, or in a literal pocket. Take some time to think about the source of beauty that sustains you. And then pick one action that will help you carry it with you in a more consistent way. There was a time in my life when I carried a crystal in my pocket. That was my source of beauty. And I once had a set of prayer beads that I wore on my wrist to remind me. And then it broke. Years ago, I was having a hard time in my life, and I remember witnessing beauty in a worship service. The children's choir at my church was up singing a song. And I especially remember one little girl who just put her whole heart and soul into it. I found the video online and watched it again last night. It was so beautiful. She sang with such seriousness and care that my weary heart just felt opened up and joyful, if just for a few moments. At the time, I called that video Human Prozac. And whenever I needed it, I watched it. It was so sweet and so touching and so beautiful. I carried the beauty of those sweet children singing my heart. And it makes me smile to think that this one little girl just graduated from high school, and I get to watch her bridge at General Assembly in Spokane in a week and a half. So what will you be carrying in your heart or in your head or in your pocket? Think for a moment. We humans need beauty as much as air. We do. And we can meet beauty in the most unexpected places, especially if we take the time to stop and stare, especially when we walk the earth with reverence. and we can carry beauty in our hearts. Let us make it so.